his biography, or part of it, is that there was a problem as they shared the gospel with Gentile believers, that other Jewish believers were coming. Paul was a Jewish believer. And they were telling these people, you can't follow Jesus until you first convert to Judaism. Make a commitment to live under the law of Moses and men become circumcised and all that stuff. And Paul is saying, absolutely not. He says, I'm all of those things. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. But believe me, this gospel is going beyond that, and it is giving us something new. And so Paul is establishing his own credibility and his authority as an apostle from Jesus. And there's a little difficulty because God called him out later. He was not an eyewitness to the crucifixion and the resurrection that we know of. And so Paul was brought to Jesus. Jesus just introduced himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. And it was such a significant experience that we still use that in our language. We call it a road to Damascus experience. When something just reaches out and smacks you and it changes your life, we call it a road to Damascus experience. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Jesus knocked him off of his horse. And Paul has the good sense to say, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, oh, I'm Jesus, whom you have been persecuting. Oh, Paul's world just got shifted all the other way around. And so he tells us about this. Galatians 1:11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Didn't just make this up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. If you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. For you have heard about that. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Now he's speaking to people who are not Jewish mostly. But when God, and here's where moms come in, I love this part. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, I just love how moms get into everything. They're right in the middle of it. They are our formation. We are formed in them. And he says, God used my mom to form me. He set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. I went around and went south. Later I returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Kepha, as Peter, and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James or Jacob, the Lord's brother. And I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went up north again to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. He goes on. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and met and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. He was a Gentile believer. He was not compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. they recognized, and I'm skipping down to verse 7 here, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. And now here, this is an interesting point, because it's very important, I think, that Paul later had Timothy circumcised, because he was Jewish. And so this business we get into, where Paul says there's no such thing as male or female, there's no such thing as Jew or Greek, he means in the economy of God's value, it doesn't matter whether you're born a man or a woman, it doesn't matter whether you're born a Jew or a Greek, it doesn't mean those distinctions are gone. Heavens no, we wouldn't have to have Mother's Day, because we'd all be the same, right? No, there are still men and there are still women, there are still Jews and there are still Greeks. And so Titus was a Greek and Timothy was Jewish. And so one is not circumcised and the other is. And so they play their roles in the ministry as who they are. Verse 8, for God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as the apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, which is much better than the left foot of fellowship, when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Okay, so this is Paul talking about his own life. And then, six to eight years later, we get the letter, the second letter we have, 2 Corinthians. It's probably 3 Corinthians, really, but we don't have the other letter there. And Paul is having some problem establishing again his credentials with them. They're saying, Paul is no orator. He's not handsome. He has no wealth. Why should we listen to him? And Paul, now having been in ministry, and you'll see as he describes how he interacts with ministry, he doesn't just sit around and think about things all the time, even though God took many years to prepare him to do ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. And Paul gives us his resume. And his resume is literally physically written on his back. He says, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 24, 5 times I received from the Jews, that is to say the Jewish authority, he himself is Jewish, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1, that is 39 lashes. They wanted to make sure that in case they miscounted, they didn't give someone more than 40 lashes. And that adds up to 39 times 5 is 195 scars on his back from his own people about how they felt about this message he was preaching. There's a resume for you. Do you think I really believe this stuff? Am I just some scam artist? These 195 whip scars say otherwise. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. Move down to, and he just talks about all the dangers he's been in. You know, if you want a resume, here you go. Look at chapter 12. Beginning there, he continues on. I must go on boasting. He says, I'm an idiot to do this, to talk about this kind of stuff. But if you insist, I will. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. He's talking about himself. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out, apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. And moving down to verse 7, in order, he says, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He had some kind of a physical ailment. And in this vision, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made whole and perfect in weakness. So you don't, I'm looking for people who are looking for the truth. So I'm not sending them a slick salesman. I'm sending them a little beat up guy who's a brainiac and who's very driven. And they're going to know the truth if they're looking for the truth. And so Paul continues and runs his race all the way through and eventually takes this message all the way to Caesar. And the Caesar he took it to was Nero. And Paul was executed in Rome under Nero. He had the fortune of being a Roman citizen and so did not have to endure the cross that his Lord died on, but was beheaded, mercifully beheaded by the Romans. Comes to this. Paul is just so, I mean, you can't be Paul unless you're just really that person, unless you're called from the womb to do what he did. But Jesus called him for such a person, and Paul took the time, he took years that he could have been doing ministry, but he took years to learn, even though he knew all of the scripture already, he took years to figure out what it meant. He apparently went back to Jerusalem and interviewed a lot of people, because at the end of 1 Corinthians he says there are some 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, and most of them are still alive. See, he went and asked, you think I'm going to commit my life to this without really knowing that someone else saw this? Better believe it. He did his homework. And he sat with the Lord and he learned all that he... And when he was ready to go, he was ready to go. And so for us, we have the same message. Your clock is ticking. Your clock is ticking, and you need and I need to understand what God's been doing in my life and in your life. Well, I don't know. I hope that you were raised in a Christian home. I hope you don't have an exciting conversion story from drugs or from whatever else. But if you do, that's great. That's part of your story. But God has been working in your life if you have allowed him to at all. What is your story? Why do you do what you do? How many people aren't hearing your story? Your story is your segue to the gospel. Why do you think that Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, I got a whole bunch of reasons, you know, for the eyewitnesses, but also, first and foremost, because he changed my life. My story. Your story. Your clock is ticking. Start understanding your story. Start getting it out there. Your world is changing. Your my world lists, those lists change. People move, people die, people move or get out of your sphere of influence, and new people come in. Those people need to hear your story. God's putting you together for a reason. Finally, this. And I'm hoping to push us this way. I've been trying to push us for some time this way. But I want us to think. Take the time to think about what God's been doing in your life. Take some time to talk about it with your fellow small group members. Okay, this happened to me. What do you think this means? It seemed like this to me. People will bring wisdom into that. Write some things down. Write your story down. Get it down on one side of one piece of paper. Maybe you've got several stories. Write them down and then begin to tell them. That's why we're here. We're here to take care of one another. We're here to encourage one another in this. But this is the going out part. You're not the Apostle Paul. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I don't have the job of taking the gospel to the whole Mediterranean world. Thank you, Lord. But I've got a job, and you've got a job, and that job is defined on that My World form. If you don't know what that is, we've got a stack of them out there, and it's basically that we just list about 8 to 15 people that God has put into our lives, whether we like it or not, and we're asking God to give us opportunity to get into their life and to love them in His place. We're His representative. All right. Paul, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Paul. He was a guy, I don't know how easy he would have been to be around all the time. He was a study in intensity and a study in a whole lot of other things, but you'd always learn from him. You'd always live off of what fell out of his back pocket, so to speak. Thank you for people like that. Lord, help us to learn these lessons. Help us to be ready to jump in the saddle, to be ready to write these things down, to be ready to look at another person and get past being afraid what they think of us, and just say, you know, you need to know the Lord. He's really good. He's been good to me, and here's why and how he's been good to me. Lord, help us to develop the stories, to articulate what it is you've done for us, to add our part to this great story you've given us. We ask that you would give us intent to do that and give us a way to do it. Put it in our hearts and in our minds. Don't quit bugging us about it. And we will thank you that we will become alive, we will thrive, we will grow as a vital force in this community. We'll thank you for that in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.